Can I get some of you to move from this side over to this side, just to kind of bounce it out a little bit? No. I'm kidding you. All right. So, anyhow, today I'm going to take a break from the book of John so that all those ladies who are on the retreat don't miss a section of John as we're going through it. So I'm going to go through something else. So I had the opportunity just to pick anything, and that's really hard. I don't like to be in that position. I'd rather just know, like, hey, this is the next chapter I'm preaching. But in my Bible reading, one of the things that I do, I have a whole bunch of different reading threads that I go through in the Bible. So I'll read, you know, some of the Old Testament, some of the New Testament. It's always Gospels. It's always the Epistles. You know, I've got these different threads all the time. But one that I always have is I'll read through the book of Psalms. And when I get done with that, I read through the book of Proverbs. When I get done with that, I read through the book of Psalms. I read through the book of Proverbs. So almost every day I'm either reading Psalms or Proverbs. And this last period of time I was reading through Proverbs. And just so very blessed by the book of Proverbs. I would say that all of us need to be reading that really regularly. We need to be reading our Bibles regularly, but this is something, like, there's different types of literature in the Bible. Very helpful to just soak up very regularly. And so I like to do that. And I was very blessed by this. And so I just picked one part of a chapter to go over today. And the theme and the subject really is about wisdom and having God's wisdom in your life and living by it, and not just like knowing about it in your mind, but it becoming a part of who you are. And that's what we're looking for here today. So let's read the passage, and after we read the passage, let's take a moment and pray together. But first, let's begin by reading Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be a healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, but be weary of His reproof. Or be weary of His reproof. For the Lord rebukes him whom He loves as a father the son in whom He delights." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You again for this morning. Thank You for this time and place. We do thank You for this church family. And I thank You for each person that You've brought here to be part of this church body. I thank You for Jeff and Tina. I lift them up to You in their challenges right now of fostering their grandchildren, Lord, and caring for them and watching over them. I pray You give them youth and energy and just vigor and strength as they do that, Lord, and also that we can come alongside and say, how could we help? You know, what can we do? And just thank You for that opportunity to be part of a body, Lord. And we pray today that we would hear Your voice. We pray that we could leave here wise in You and Your wisdom, and that this would become who we are, not just something we know about, but who we are and what we live and what we're all about and what life means to us, Lord. And just thank You. Thank You that we have Your Word. Thank You, Father, that You sent Your Son to die on the cross for our sins. And each and every one of us here needs that. We need You. We need You as a Savior. We need to live in that grace of Yours every single day. And I just pray that You would pour it out on us today. Thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I'm going to give you some of an introduction here to Proverbs, since we're just jumping right into it. But what is a proverb? I think most of you kind of have an idea of what it is. I'll give you a definition here to start with. It's an English definition, so thinking of the English word proverb, it's a short sentence people often quote because it gives advice and tells you something about life. I like that definition. It's something, and it's I would say also it's memorable. memorable. It definitely rings true. It teaches you about life. And that's why I think we like this form of expression so well, because it gets right to the point. It gets to us, and it gets to our heart as we think about it. Now, the word for proverb in Hebrews means to be like, or also it could be translated as parable. So that's another use of it. So they're kind of like the parables that Jesus told, but they're usually like shorter and more to the point. But it's illustrating a point about life, a lot of times with one thing to another. That's what it is in Hebrew. So that kind of gives us the idea of it. And we have this whole book, Proverbs, the whole book, and it's considered part of the wisdom literature that we have. And it's actually considered like the crown jewel of that, like the main book of wisdom literature that we have in the Bible. Now, it breaks down like this. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 8 is the introduction to Proverbs. It's the introduction to wisdom. It's the introduction to the point of the book and really what it's all about. And in the beginning of that, it's called the Proverbs of Solomon. Now, every single proverb in the book is not written by Solomon. It's Solomon and others, but the idea is that he wrote most of the proverbs. He's known for proverbs and probably influenced those others who wrote proverbs in there. They were under his influence there. And so it's described in that way. Now, chapter 1, verse 9 through chapter 9, verse 18, these are basically poems that are written about wisdom, and they are a father's teaching to his son about wisdom, basically. So you could, it's like Solomon writing to his son, but even if you just take it in general, as a father who has experienced things in life, has experienced wisdom, he's experienced the hurt and suffering of turning his back on the Lord, and he's teaching about how much better it is to walk with the Lord and to live a wise life, and he's giving that to his son. If you think about it, what can any one of us as fathers give to our sons? I mean, we can give them all the resources in the world, but if we, that doesn't help nearly as much. It's not nearly as important, as significant as if we could pass on the wisdom that we've learned from the Lord. Now, there's advice to the son, too, really, as you look at it, because the wise son hears the wisdom from the Lord, receives it as teachable, shapeable, correctable. And then Proverbs talks a lot about different people, like there's the fool, there's the sluggard. You know, these are the ones that says they will reject wisdom. They don't want to hear wisdom, and they live opposite of really what God wants for their lives. I think this is also significant and important because me, I'm a young man, right? Amen? I'm a young man. Come on now. Come on, a young man. Getting more and more seasoned every day. But I remember, you know, thinking about this like in terms when I read about the young man in the Bible, that there was a point in time where I felt like, yeah, I could really relate to that because I am a young man. Now I'm starting to begin to relate, you know, from the other side of it. But I can remember being youthful. And this book is really written to, like, the idea is it's written to a youthful audience. But I think it's written that way because it's something that we all can learn from, but we all can remember being youthful. We all can be youthful in any age, but we all can make mistakes, and we all can look at things the wrong way. And so I've often thought, like, when it addresses something like the young man in the Bible, I think, especially I used to think this when I was a young man, I thought, yep, I know how sinful my heart is, and if the Lord is saying this is true for a young man, then I know this is absolutely true, and it's good for everybody. That's how I think about it as you look at it this way. And so addressed to a son, a young son, but so true for each and every one of us. The next part is chapter 10, 1 through chapter 22, 16. And these are really the Proverbs of Solomon. They're the short sayings like we talked about, you know, that each one of them is a very short saying about wisdom that really teaches us something. And there are just amazing things to teach there. And then the rest of the book is proverbs from other people that are collected there. And there are some really, really, really good ones. They're all really good. They're all inspired by the Lord, and they're there, and so they teach us. Now, I haven't done a lot of preaching through Proverbs. On Mother's Day, I did a sermon on Proverbs 31, talked about the Proverbs 31 woman. And I realized after, I was like, yeah, I had this feeling. It's like, I don't know if that was a good sermon or not. I just felt like I was just kind of going on and on and on and on. But that's kind of how Proverbs is. And I read something this week that says it's notorious for being hard to preach. It's hard to preach through Proverbs. And I thought, that's probably why I was feeling like I was, because it's so much information out there. Probably each and every one of those Proverbs is a sermon all on its own. Just one or two verses, that whole thing is a sermon. And you can see, we're going to go through 12 verses today, so it's really kind of like we're going to go through 6 sermons today. So you're really, really, really getting your money's worth today. Amen? How, right? You paid to get in here, didn't you? We sold tickets at the door and everything like that, right? No? Okay, no, this was free. Okay, so you're definitely going to get your money's worth then, and some. This is like a bonus. Well, hard to preach through, and I think I could relate to that. There are some guiding questions that I think we can ask ourselves that help us as we read through Proverbs, and I think will help me preach this better, and I think this is going to help me. When I get done with this, I want to say, yeah, okay, I think I preached a good sermon through this, and I know it's good if I just present the material because this is of the Lord. But these are 3 things that I think help us, will guide us. One is, what sin is this warning against? So what is this really warning against? Because Proverbs is not just telling you what to do, but it's also telling you what not to do, and it's telling you what happens, you know, when you don't do it. Now, I'll get to that, but that's the first one. What sin is this warning against? What quality is it promoting? What should this be bringing out in me as I read it? You know, what was the author and the Lord who inspired it? What were they intending, the people who would read, to take this and to have some kind of change in their life and for their character to grow and improve, for some good quality of the Lord to come out? So what is the quality that's being promoted? And what are the general consequences? That's big in Proverbs. It doesn't just say what to do and not what to do, but it says, this is what happens when you do it. This is what happens when you don't do it. Now today, good news for you, is mostly focused on the positive. That there is great reward for seeking the Lord. There is great reward for wanting His wisdom in your life and for wanting to live it out and for you to base your heart and your life on seeking Him and seeking His face. In that, there's great reward. There's nothing in the world that can compare to it. And these verses that we're going to look at today concentrate mostly on that. So those are the guiding questions that will help us. So are we ready to just dig in for these 6 sermons that you're getting all at once right here? Can I get an amen? Can you get a praise the Lord? Are you excited? Do I have to talk you into being excited about being in the Lord's house today?
I can hardly stand.
Okay. All right, right off the bat, it says, my son, and I told you this, written to the son, if you go through pretty much the first 9 chapters, I think about 7 or 8 of them, all are addressed to my son. My son, my son, my son, my son. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. So what is the sin that's being warned against here? And the teaching is not just we don't just think of it as just the father's teaching, but the father teaching his son about wisdom, teaching his son about the Lord. So what is the sin that's being warned against here? That would be one way to say it, neglecting the word. I guess we could say forgetting his teaching. And I don't think it's just forgetting, like, oh, oops, I forgot. I forgot what verse 7 says. You know, I forgot all about it. But no, it's like it's this, you know, purposely putting it aside, neglecting it, not being in it, not living it. I mean, you might know fully in your mind what the Bible says, but not being willing to live it out and putting it out of your mind and going and making the choice to walk apart from the Lord. Basically, turning your back on God, turning your back on His commandments. So he's warning for his son is, you know, don't do this. Do not forget the teachings. Do not forget the teaching of wisdom. And I think that as we look at things that are written in the Bible, like every single one of them are here because you and I, being in sinful flesh without the Holy Spirit doing His job in us, we have a tendency to do that. We have a tendency to forget about His commandments. Like, what are some of God's commandments that we live by today?
Don't murder.
What's it?
Well,
don't murder. Okay, that's one. That's definitely one we could think about. Okay, but what did Jesus say about murder? He said, yeah, don't you angry with your brother. You call your brother a fool. You know, these things, you commit murder in your heart. Okay, so we have to watch, you know, our anger. We have to watch our feelings towards other people. We look at that. So that's one we think about. What else did Jesus say that was really pretty hard? Okay, every thought. Okay, and I'm thinking of Paul. Every thought needs to be held captive, taken captive. God, you know, God doesn't just see what we do, but He sees everything that we think. Did you have one there, Patricia?
Yes, honor thy mother and father.
Honor your mother and your father. Amen. You know, why didn't we say that when the kids were in here? That would have been better. But there are some that are still here. But no, that's important. Even as you grow and you age, to honor your mother and your father. I thought of two more that I can think of. When you said murder, and we talked about, you know, the Sermon on the Mount, how Jesus said that. When He said, don't even look at a woman lustfully. If you look at a woman lustfully, you've committed adultery in your heart. It's not just a matter of what you do, but it's a matter of what's going on in your heart. And also Jesus said that the great commandment, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, the two great commandments. And He says all the law and the prophets rest on those. And so as we think about it, you know, just love for God. And how many of us have neglected loving God like we should at times in our lives? How many of us have made it about ourselves and not about loving the Lord and not about loving our neighbor, but we get so caught up in ourselves, you know, so we do that. We can forget. How many of you, I can just go on this. Like I said, this could be a sermon. How many of you guys struggle with worry? Okay, let me ask you a question. How many of you, of the things that you worried about in the past, how many of them, like, have you had this experience where you worried super hard about something and now you're like, what was I worried about back then? I don't even know. What was it? I don't even get it. Like, it doesn't even worry me anymore. The whole thing that I imagined, the whole scenario that I thought would play, it didn't even play out that way. Don't you know that when we go be with Jesus, it's going to be 100% like that? We're going to be like, why do we worry about all those things when we are on earth? Why do we worry about what people thought about us? Why would we worry about what would happen to us? Who would take care of us? All these different things. Why did we worry if we'd have enough money, if we'd have enough security, if we'd have food to eat, clothes to wear? Why do we worry about any of that stuff?
Amen.
Isn't it going to be awesome when we get to heaven and we're with Lord? I want to tell you that we all can, we can be there with the Lord, but we need to say yes to Jesus, what He did on the cross. It's not automatic. So if you're here today and you don't have that peace, you don't have that, then what you need to know is you need to know that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and He's offering salvation to you. And you need to believe in Him and you need to receive Him. Then that's true. You don't have to worry. And that's a commandment of His. And so we need to know that to keep His commandments. Now, how do you know what His commandments are? A lot of times, a lot of people don't really know what the Bible actually says because they don't read it. And they believe that they believe something, but they don't even know what they believe. And so one of the things that this church that we want to be people that actually like study the Bible, read it, that we know what we believe.
Amen.
And none of us have arrived. We're all just students. Hopefully we've taken on this idea that we're lifelong students of the Word and we just keep learning and we keep growing and we encourage one another. But if we will familiarize ourselves with His commandments and we will live them, it talks about a blessing. Now, I want to say this right off the bat. I'm not one of those prosperity teachers that you see on TV. If I were, this place would be packed and I'd probably be on television. Because I would tickle the ears by telling people what they want to hear. And I believe I could do that if I wanted to do that. But I don't want to do that because that's not really what the Bible teaches. That's not really what the Bible's saying. So the blessings that are here are, they're in general. It's not like, okay, this is how it happens. Like, okay, I want this to happen, so I'm going to do this and God's going to do it. And if you ever hear somebody say this, then you probably should walk out. You know what? I'm going to hold God to that. He said it, I'm going to hold Him to it. That's one of the things that kind of cracks me up when people say that. When God says something, you don't have to hold Him to anything. What are you going to do? Sit there and hold on to Him and like make Him do it? Like, you're going to do this, God. You said it. You're going to do it. I'm going to hold you to it. And I know probably it's an innocence that people say that, but I don't believe in talking like that about the Lord. So He says it. It's true. He'll do it. But like, as you look at promises that are in the Bible, especially you look in Proverbs here, these are in general. These are in general. So the promise that's made is for length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. So in general, When we remember the Lord's commandments and we follow them and we live them in general, we do. We live longer lives. We have better lives. We have a quality of life that we would have otherwise not had. Okay, some of these I think are just, they're not even in general. They're just like, yes, that's completely the case. But like, take like the length of days, the idea. You know, some people do die younger and they love the Lord and they remembered His commands and it happens. It happens. But I would say they have eternal life. So length of days are forever. But you know, so you get what I'm saying with the general. There's some part of it which is like, you know, absolutely true. Some part of it is like, as you look at it, it's in general, this is how it works. Okay, this is how you look at it. But I would say that what's absolutely true is that if you remember the Lord's commandments and you live them, you are always blessed. Always blessed. How exactly it's measured out in your life, it is just a blessing. It is. Okay? And I like that idea of being at peace. Yeah. I'm at peace with God, first of all, and then at peace, like, I'm not sitting there in turmoil over things because I have God in my life. Amen. Just an incredible peace that passes all understanding that you can have in your life. All right. That was sermon number one. Sermon number one. Okay, so sermon number two is this. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. So I think the wording here is a little interesting. It says, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Well, as I think about it, first of all, God's steadfast love and His faithfulness, they never forsake us. Okay, God's love doesn't forsake us or anything like that. But I think it's more the idea is that these things, we allow them to exit out of who we are and out of our character and how we live our lives, and they're not present and they're not there. Because if you look at what he says, bind them around your neck. These need to be close to you. These need to be right there with you. These need to be the things that really, I think about your neck. You could think about the Israelites having stiff necks. God always says, stiff-necked people. But no, your neck should be nice and loose and willing to listen to the Lord and willing to follow Him and willing to look and willing to see. But it should become who you are. You know, as you look at it, He says, write them on the tablet of your heart. If you could picture your heart really having a tablet on it, and you can think of like the experiences that you have in life and what you're going through, that like that you're being shaped, that story's being written, that who you are is being written right there on your heart, that there's a tablet there that's being put together, you know. And He's saying that what you need to have written on your heart is this love and faithfulness and steadfastness. And that needs to become who you are. And if you want to live in God's wisdom, if you want to be a wise person, then that's what you'll do. You want to soak all it up so that becomes who you are. Now, if you'll do that, it says you do that so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. And so there's the general idea. And I think the most general one I could look at is the end of that. You know, you'll find favor in the eyes of God and man. Now, think about it. That's where, again, people kind of get in these things. I want God to be on my side. I want God to be on my side, so I'm going to do this. Well, no, it's not so much that. But in general, the truth is that you will find favor of the Lord in your life when you walk in love and faithfulness and steadfastness. You're blessed. Because when you don't, you know, you face the consequences. I mean, what is the sin that's being warned against here? The sin is neglecting these things. It's forgetting about these things. It's living in the opposite, you know, not being faithful to the Lord, not reading your Bible, not being part of a church, okay, not living out what the Bible says. That when you do that, that your life is worse off because of that. And that while God may still, He does, He loves you just as much. If you're born again, you're just as forgiven. You're going to be in heaven, but you are missing God's blessing over your life when you don't live your life with these things, with His love and faithfulness there. Like your faithfulness for God, it's not like it's helping God, okay, but it's really helping you. It's a blessing to you. And it glorifies God. But when we glorify God, we're not adding any extra glory to God. We're announcing and proclaiming who He is, the glory that He already has. We don't give Him any glory that He doesn't already have. And so we want to live this, and we want this love. And again, love is not just a feeling. Okay? Love is our willing to serve and act and not get anything in return, and to do what's best for someone else. We want that to be who we are. We want faithfulness. Okay, we are faithful to the Lord. We are faithful to others. You know, if we say we're going to be somewhere and do something, we want to do it. Okay, we don't want to break faith. You know, like say we believe in one thing and then go and do something that's completely inconsistent with that. And we all have done that at times. But I'm talking about where we want to go and who we want to be. You know, I'm always looking forward, looking ahead in our faith and our Christianity. So we want that to be who we are. We don't want to forsake that in any way. And we'll find favor in God. And then the truth is, if you live your life this way, that in general, you find favor among men. People see you. They respect you. They know. They understand that you live your life this way. So many people have taken their Christian faith like out in the workplace, and they just live their life out as a Christian. And people respect them for it. Because they know that, hey, this man, he's a man of his word. Okay, this woman works hard. You know, we think about going to work. None of us should be lazy at work. Try to get out of, you know, doing things that we're supposed to do. We do need to work hard. We need to be doing our jobs well. We're representing the Lord in that way. Some of you are like, I'm retired. Well, Jeff Mundell told me that when he retired, he started working even harder because he was working for the Lord. And he was working for the Lord at Boeing when he worked there too. But now he works for the Lord, and part of that, his assignment is Elk Plain Community Church, and the pastor calls him up and asks him to do this or that, and he does it. And now the Lord's called him to take care of his grandkids, and he's doing that too with his lovely wife. All right, so next sermon is this, and this has got to be like the most well-known proverb, right? A favorite for so many. It's a favorite of mine, and it's a really good one to share with people, to encourage people. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. So what is the sin that's being warned against? The sin that's being warned against is not trusting God and not remembering Him and not living your life for Him and not making it about Him and not acknowledging it. That's what I mean by acknowledging. That's why I said those. But like you're doing something, you don't even think about the Lord, you know? It's like that idea that, you know, I just got laid off. And you sit and you worry. And you fret about it, but you never once thought, you know what? I believe in a God who's sovereign. He's sovereign. I got laid off for a reason. I'm going through this big change for a reason. God is in it. God is in control. It's happening, and that's acknowledging God in the... I don't mean that's easy, because you still might be going through like a really hard time. You know, you face some kind of difficult loss or illness or these kind of things, but it's like acknowledge God in it. You don't go through it alone. You go through it with the Lord. You acknowledge Him and you trust Him. And the thing is, there are going to be all these things I'm talking about that come up in our lives these times. It's super hard to trust the Lord. That's the time we need this the most. Amen. We need this encouragement the most to remember to trust Him. A good friend right now who's gone through some hard times and things like that and is going through cancer right now. And I'm talking about Art Werderman. I remember him telling me that about one sermon he heard from this. He said that the guy said, you know, are you an acknowledger? Are you an acknowledger? That stuck with me. You know, that idea that as an acknowledger, he's saying that you go, you live your life, you acknowledge God in everything. Acknowledge the Lord in everything. Every single part of it. And part of that acknowledgement is you don't just acknowledge, it's not a negative acknowledgement. It's like, oh, God's doing this to me. It's a trusting acknowledgement. I trust Him. He knows what's best. This is really hard. God knows what's best. How many of you has God taken things away from you? It would be very difficult that He took away from you. But in the long run, it's brought you to depend on Him more and to be more close to Him. That's the human experience. That's life. That's really what it all is about. That's what it comes down to. And so we want to live this out. We want this to become. So if we look at it on the positive side, it's learning to grow in our trust of Him. Learning to think of Him first. Learning to acknowledge Him. I like that idea of taking communion. You know, we take communion. We do that because we want to always put that thought in the front of our minds about what Jesus has done on our behalf and what it's all about, and not forget. He says, do this in remembrance of me. And in our lives, it's like that, continually remembering Him and continually acknowledging Him. That's what it's supposed to be. And do you know that two people can go through exactly the same circumstance and face it in a very different way? One person could go through it and they can trust God and acknowledge God, and the other person can go through it and they can completely fall apart and become devastated in it. And so I think that, like, when we look at what the Lord is bringing out in us, it's that strength, that kind of character where we look to the Lord first no matter what's going on. Anything, we want to do that. And we need to decide this ahead of time. Because in this life, there are trials and tribulations, right? Now, thankfully that Jesus has overcome the world and overcome this life, but we're going to all go through them. We're going to go through incredible loss, and it's great that we have each other and we have those things. But let's decide ahead of time that I know where to look first. I know that where my strength comes from. It comes from the Lord. And let's say that I went through something really hard and not a single one of you came alongside and helped. I'm not saying I did, but I'm just saying, let's say that I would have that possibility of thinking that way or feeling that way. The Lord is always there. I could always turn to Him. He's always there for you. And I had to trust in Him. And then I think you need to be willing to turn to your brothers and sisters and let them know and share where you're at, and then come around each other and help each other out and strengthen and encourage each other. Now, what is the general blessing that we see from this? When we trust God, when we acknowledge Him, He says He will make straight your paths. So, like, the truth is, like, each and every one of us, like, most of the time I think we think we have more control over things than we do. And maybe you're like me, you've had a couple moments in your life, you're like, whoa, I had no control over that. How did that just happen? I mean, sometimes it's a natural thing. I remember I was on my way to the gym in Seattle. It was right next to my office where I worked, in Fremont in Seattle. And me and my really good friend who'd always go play basketball a couple days a week, we were walking. And you remember that Nisqually earthquake that we had? We were walking across the street, and all of a sudden I thought, there aren't any trains around here. It just sounded like a train was going by, and the ground was shaking. I was like, there aren't any trains around here. And then I realized it was an earthquake, and I thought, I'm small. I'm shaken up. And I realized I was in the hand of God. And then I remember talking to Hannah, and she's like, you know what? The fence in the backyard, it just went like this. It just rippled. And this is moments when you just feel like, whoa, I'm not so in control. You know, now we've got other ones. You know, sometimes it is when you're driving in your car and you just almost get hit by another driver. Just like maybe they just missed by inches. And I know my family has had a close call just recently where they were getting on 512 right there in South Tacoma Way, and a car just plowed right through the intersection, hit like one of the lights or something like that, blew it all up, and just went right by them into the furniture store parking lot there just a couple weeks ago. I know this summer, another time, we were driving down the road, we were going to Lake Taps with the Mundells. We were following them, they're just a little bit in front of us, driving down the road, just, you know, normal speeds, normal distance, and all of a sudden, we're going through an intersection, and I think it was a woman on a bike, just turned right in front of us, just turned right in between our two cars. And I looked up, I slammed on the brakes, and the anti-lock brakes came on and everything, and her bike was just like right here at the front of our car, just barely missed her. And we stopped in the intersection, and we were just like, oh my goodness, what just happened? I looked down the road, and she's riding down the road, you know, like nothing happened, you know. But thought, oh man, that is just by the grace of God that we didn't hit that person, and we were so out of control in that situation, you know. Also, like, I want to think about other ways we think about our paths and what's happening. We think about the decisions we make, you know, the jobs you go into, the opportunities that you have, all those things. The Lord is guiding and directing your path and making things straight and watching over you and leading you to where He needs you to be. And if you get off that, if you forget about the Lord, if you don't acknowledge Him, I'm not saying you're going to go around and hit people on bikes and get hit by cars and things like that, but the decisions and choices you make, you're going to have a crooked road. You get adrift. One time I was preaching through, I think it was Colossians maybe. This idea of getting adrift. If you're in a ship, you know, and you've got a destination, but if you're just a little bit off course over a long period of time, you get really far away. And so the idea was, that's what happens just spiritually. We get spiritually adrift. You know, we get off the course. We get off the narrow path. We get off that narrow path, we can get very far from God. Especially over time. Time goes by. We get really far from the Lord. And so I want to pray that we don't do that. So if we will trust Him, remember Him, acknowledge Him. And I guess before I move on, before I end this sermon, what is that thing right now in your life that you're really having trouble trusting the Lord with? It's the thing that keeps you up at night. You know, you're worried about it. You know, you're probably trying to solve it yourself. You're trying to figure it out yourself instead of giving it to the Lord and trusting Him with it. What is that thing? Maybe today this could be the day that you surrender that to the Lord. You just completely surrender it, give it to Him, and just trust Him. And then just continue to acknowledge Him that He has the control over it. All right, next one is, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will bring healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. So, we don't want to be those people, and this is really what Proverbs would describe as the fool. You know, the fool really thinks that he's wise, but he's not. He thinks he's wiser than all the kind of advisors that he could have. He just has all the answers all to himself. We don't want to be that. That's the sin that's warned against, you know, to have this kind of pride in ourselves. To instead, on the positive, is to see evil and turn away from it. Okay, you think about him writing to like a young man, a young son. Okay, I think a lot of times, sometimes one of the hardest things is when you do work and you talk to young people, especially when they're about like, I'm sorry for any of you who are this age, if anybody's here, you know, like about 12, 13 years old in that area. Most of the time, it's very difficult to teach them because they already know everything. And you can't teach anybody that knows everything already like at that time, you know, so it can be like really challenging, you know, to do that, you know, but that's kind of a normal way to be at that age. But do you know that some people never grow out of that? Some people will just continue that. And actually, to some degree, we all can be that way. And so what Proverbs, you know, commands is being teachable, being shapeable, being moldable, you know, in that way. And so when somebody comes alongside you and gives you wise counsel, and maybe they might even come to you and say, look, I know this is going to be hard to hear, but what you're doing and the way you're living your life right now is a sin. And God is calling you to repent from this. And He's calling you to get back on the straight and narrow and to live and walk that way. And sometimes it's very hard to go and have that conversation to get it just right, you know. And a lot of times people might look at you and say, you're judgmental. You know, you're not taking the time to listen to me and hear where I, you know, it's like, no, I'm doing this because I love you. And this is what God wants you, and this is plan. And I'm making it sound like it's really easy right now the way I'm saying it, but it's not. And sometimes it's just not well received. But the idea here is, if anyone ever comes to you with that kind of a thing, then you need to be wise and really weigh it out, what they're saying. And really ask the Lord to show you the answer and to show you, if you're wrong in any way, to receive correction. To be steered back, to get on the straight and narrow, you know, in that way. And to not just think that you've got it all figured out, that you're going to take advice. And maybe that you're going to go and make some big decisions or something like that. A lot of people just say, you know, I think this is what God's telling me to do, and they go and do it, but they're not willing to like listen to like the people around them, the advisors they have around them that advise them, you know, hey, is this a good idea or not? And so I would say that this teaches us to do that. And if something is identified as being wrong or evil, that we steer away from it. And if we don't, then, you know, there are the negative consequences that go with that. And I think we can kind of see them in the positive. What happens when we take wisdom, when we receive it, when we repent, when we turn away from evil? It says there's healing in that. There's actual healing. Healing to your flesh, your actual body, your flesh, and refreshment to your bones. And I'm looking at like there's a in general, there's a health, positive health to doing things God's way. Again, I'm not saying that you don't get cancer, that you don't face these kind of things, but just as you look at it in general. And I think you can definitely see it in the negative. Like people who make the decision to get into substance abuse, right? In any form, there's just a huge physical toll. I mean, I can't believe like how many people that I went to school with that it's already just destroyed their lives right now, and that some of them are no longer with us because they were destroyed by drugs and alcohol. And those choices were made. And that, like, right now we have just a huge drug problem right here in our area. And we have people that they're doing this, and it's really, you could just see it in their skin and their bones and their flesh and who they are. It's just really destroying them. Okay, but that's just one picture that's it's such an easy example to see it. But that is what sin does no matter what to us. And you see it come out in different ways, but sin is about causing death and disease and separating us from God, and that's what it does, and that's the impact that it's had on this world. Do you know that if we didn't have sin in this world, we wouldn't have death? We wouldn't have anything breaking down in that way. We have life, and that's what Jesus came for, to completely reverse it. But now, just in general, in our lives, when we make the decision to go the right way and to follow God and follow His wisdom, that we are blessed and that there is actual healing in our bodies from that. We actually have that. We will experience health in general by doing things God's way. And if we go the opposite way, then we experience those consequences too. Now, there could be other things. I've mentioned that, you know, substance abuse things. It's not the only thing. Like for myself, I've made decisions like, okay, I don't want this in my life. And some people don't get them. You know, like I quit eating potato chips a couple years ago, and I might start eating them again at some point. But I completely quit eating potato chips. And most people say like, well, okay, you eat Doritos. Why do you eat Doritos? Well, no, I had a problem with potato chips, specifically the jalapeno potato chips, the kettle cooked ones. I had a problem with those. I ate way too many of them. They weren't good for me. Okay, and this sounds funny, but like, is it like I make these decisions in my life sometimes. It's like, you know what? Even though that's not like a definite, like that's wrong, but like I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to have that in my life because I know that it's going to be better for me to not have that in my life. Okay? So I don't know what your potato chips are, but there may be things like that for you. So don't get me any potato chips, okay? All right. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. And this would kind of get on one of those ones where people are like, yeah, you give to the Lord and He'll give to you. You know, that's how it works, you know. And that's how, you know, churches are out to do it. I never want to be that kind of a place, you know, that's saying that. But I do want you to know about the general principle that is true. The general principle that's true. And you should never approach your giving like, I'm going to give this so that I get something out of it. Because that's not worship and that's not giving. It's like, I want to give this no matter what happens. If this life is like really hard, I give it to the Lord. That's fine. I give it to the Lord. I give it to Him freely out of my heart. And I'm privileged to be able to do it. But I mean, we should be aware though of this. I think it more addresses like the negative things that are in us. But it says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Now, so He's speaking to people that grow produce. That's what they grow. And there are very few of us here that do. But Ralph, you grow apples there. So this, you can relate to this as you think about it. And I think that you do this, you know, as I look at how you use your apples, you know, to have this function that we're having and things. But enough about you, Ralph. I don't want to put you on the spot. It says this to those people who grew that, like they would take that was their livelihood. That's what they had to live on and to earn their income and to eat and to buy what they needed to buy and to trade and to do that. He says, that's what they had. He says, you need to take that and you have a certain wealth, a certain level of wealth, sometimes more, sometimes less, depending on who you compare yourself and things to as you look at it. We have a habit of always comparing ourselves to those who have a lot more than we have rather than have a lot less. But you have this certain level of wealth. You take that And what you need to do is you need to acknowledge God with that, with what you have, with the resources you have. You acknowledge God with it, and you give to Him your first fruits, which is like the first and the best that you produce in your crops. You give that to the Lord. Don't give Him the leftovers. Don't give Him what's wasted. You know, don't give Him the things that are flawed. But take the very best, the very first that you have, give it to the Lord and honor Him in that way. And that's the way it's stated there. And I think the way it plays out for us is like each and every one of us, we have a certain type of a wealth. It's certain resources that the Lord has given us, certain things. And this is saying that you need to honor the Lord with that. You honor the Lord and you give out of that, you give your first and you give your best. You give your first fruits to the Lord. And I kind of phrased it financially, but it is financially and it's beyond financially. Not just limited to your finances. You know, like I could say like, well, I got plenty of money, so I just give a bunch to the Lord and I'm good now. The rest is mine and here I go. You know, that's not the right attitude about it. Okay? It's giving it to Him. And so for some, maybe giving money is really easy. But what God really wants is not your money, but He wants your heart. And you haven't really given your heart to the Lord. And so all of us, like there's a part of it where it's not just a give and keep away, but it's a give and be involved, a give and be part of it, a give and serve Him. Just really give your life to serving Him and what He wants you to do in that way. And that when we give our very best to the Lord, the best that we have, you know, whatever it is, and sometimes it really, for a lot of us, it might be our time. Because time is so very limited. We give the best we have to the Lord, then we're blessed because of that. We are very blessed because of it. Now, the way they put it here, it says, then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. I think if we give our time to the Lord, we'll have enough time. If we give our money to the Lord, we'll have enough money. Okay, so that this is something, and it doesn't mean that it's always easy. Like you look at it, sometimes you might look at, you know, your, like I thought about this. I've been looking a lot at Social Security, and I thought, I wonder if this will be political. I shouldn't be too political here, but I thought, I'm purely going to be mathematical here, okay? This is not a political statement, okay? Right? Purely mathematical. Social Security is the biggest scam I've ever seen in my life when I did the math on it and I crunched the numbers. If I just had that money and I just put it into a 401k over the years, I would be so far ahead of Social Security that it's not even funny. Okay? It's not even a joke how much further that it would be ahead, okay? And I understand that there are other parts of Social Security and different things like that, but just the effectiveness of the government, you know, having it in that way. And so I did let that sinful thought come to my mind. I was like, wow, what if I didn't tithe all these years and I just put all that money in a 401k? What would it have done? And then I thought, sinner. Sinful thought, that selfish thought crept in. And I thought, you know what? I would rather go the distance in my life all the way, honoring God by giving to Him first out of every paycheck that I have, tithing to Him and doing that, than having more in my retirement or something like that. I mean, what does the Bible say about that whole retirement thing? It says, you might work hard filling the barns and getting it all ready, you know, but you fool, you don't know you're going to die tonight. You're going to do all this preparation to get all this ready and that's it. Boom. So what you need to do is you need to make sure that you're spending your heart on being right with the Lord and serving Him and getting things straight in that way. And so it's sometimes hard for me to talk about it because I'm the pastor. People think, well, you know, you're getting paid to do this and we're giving money and it's helping you and different things. And people think the church are after money. Like, believe me, we're not. Go give your money somewhere else if you don't want to give it here, you know, in that way. But really, really, I really believe these things. And I live this way. I do this because of, I think this is what God's calling us to do. And when we do it, even though it costs us here in this earth, it costs us, we're blessed because of it. We are blessed. And I know in my life that I never really lacked what I actually needed. I maybe lacked what I want, but I didn't lack what I needed. All right, now, just an example of that was, I remember I finally learned to cook steak, you know, at one point in my life when I was working for Adobe Systems. I learned how to cook good steak, like really good steak. Can I get an amen that I can cook good steak? Because I cooked steak for a lot of you guys. Now, Jeff, he helped cook it, you know, so I want to acknowledge him. But even before you came around, I was cooking steak for guys and doing a good job, you know. But I remember, by the way, I want to have just a steak feed for men at the church here. Okay, as a men's event, I want to have a steak. I know, ladies, you got too many fun things going, ladies, but all right, beyond that, I was thinking of a men's event, you know, like a retreat here at the church. Okay, you're convicting me now. All right, so I learned to cook steak. I like to eat steak, but I knew that some part of my diet came along with the job I had and the resources I have, and I thought, oh man, I'm becoming a village missionary. I don't know that I'm going to be able to eat steak anymore as often as I'd like. Okay? I'm going to have to eat the tube kind, you know? Tube steak, you know? And do that. But I would say this. My testimony is that the Lord has provided me enough steak over the years. And he brought other people in to help cook it, you know? So I just think, you know, as we look at in general what this is saying, that, you know, if we trust God and we honor Him with what we have, that in the end, when we die and after we die and we're with Him in heaven, we're not going to look back and say, you know what? Sure wish I didn't do that. No, we're going to have plenty. We're going to have what we need. God will take care of us. And actually, even sometimes, we're going to have more. He's going to bless us in that, you know, just in general. However that blessing looks, that's going to be what's true for us. Okay, and then the last sermon is, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of His reproof, for the Lord reproves him whom He loves as a father the son in whom He delights. So the fact is, if we are children of God, He loves us and He disciplines us. So sometimes that discipline is the result of us going astray. We go astray, He disciplines us to bring us back. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes we're on the straight and narrow. He disciplines us just because we need it, and it's better, and it helps us, and it's good, right? I love the idea of discipline. I like the word, and it's an important thought. Like, we think about, for instance, in coaching, like you're trying to make your team, help your team to be better. So as part of that, you know, it doesn't mean they did anything wrong, but you're trying to instill certain discipline in them so that they have that and they can do that. One of the things I used to always do when I was coaching little kids in football was I'd always, like, in the very beginning of the season, start working on the snap count. So the snap count is like you go up to the lines, down, set, hit. And if you say it's on one, you'd go on the first hit, hit. If it's on the second hit, hit, hit. If it's on the third hit, 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 hit. And then I would always tell them, it's not on any, it's on potato. So you go up to the line, down, set, hit, 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 potato. And they'd all fire off the line. But the whole thing is, when I was teaching them that from the beginning, I would have them do that from the very beginning. And if they jumped, I would have them either go back 5 yards or do push-ups or up-downs or, you know, something like that. And it wasn't because, you know, they're in trouble, but it was because I'm trying to instill that discipline that when they get in the game, they go up to the line, that they know they're going to have to hold in their position right there when the quarterback yells, hit, hit, hit. They can't jump. They can't move. And what always happens to people a lot of times, you know, we see it in football all the time, the false start, right? Yeah. Hit. Oh, you're the only one moving. Oh. Okay, but that's a discipline to be able to be there and to do that and to withstand that. Okay, so the Lord will discipline us both as consequences. We sometimes might call that punishment, but also just because He loves us and He wants to make us better. And what we need to do is we need not to despise what the Lord's doing in our life, the discipline that He's bringing, what His will is. Okay, the reproof is more like the correction side of things. Okay, it says, for the Lord reproves him He loves as a father the son in whom He delights. And so when we have the Lord's discipline in our life, when we have that, it is because we're His child and He loves us. If we didn't have that, that might be a sign that we're not His child. So His correction, his the consequences He sends into our lives, and even the things, the challenges that He puts into our lives that are very difficult and very hard that we would never ask for, but they guide us along the path and get us to where He wants us to be. All right, I feel like I'm out of time. I have one application, just one application for this. This is what I think just kind of sums it all up. You've heard all this. You know, I went through six sermons with you worth of material here. And the fact is, you can leave this door, you can leave through these doors, you can leave this place, you can be completely unchanged or not. The question for you is, will you be wise? And as part of being wise, you hear this, you understand what these things are saying, and you ought to want more. You ought to want more. You ought to want God to just to pour His wisdom into your life. And I hope that each and every one of us will leave here that we want to live in God's wisdom and just live it out in our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for today. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for each and every one who is here. We did ask for a mountaintop experience with You, Lord. And I think if we leave here changed, that is what You're looking for in our hearts, Lord, that we appreciate Your wisdom. We desire it. We seek it. We go after it with all of our hearts, Lord. And we know that if we really truly do that, that we'll find it and we'll find You. And we ask for that today, Lord. And I want to give to You those hard things, those challenging things that we struggle with, and just ask You to help us to live out Your wisdom in those areas in our lives. We thank You. We love You. We praise You. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. And I just want to invite you to stand and now sing one more time to the Lord.